Today what I'd like to talk about, the subject I'd like to share with you, is knowing Christ. And that seemed like everybody would say, I know him. The Pharisees said, I know him. They said, I know him. I know his mom and his dad. His brothers, you know, brothers and sisters there. I know him. But I'm thinking today for us to have a deeper level of knowledge of him, even as a Christian, that sometimes it's good for me to stop and learn more about him. So I'd like to start with a verse this morning in Job 22 and 21. It says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. That's an interesting verse. There's a result of me becoming acquainted with him. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. So could it possibly be that there's a ratio there? When my peace is leaving me, maybe I'm not spending as much time knowing him. So it's been a challenge for me. There's a lot of things right now for my mind to be able to dwell on that's happening in the world around me. I'm challenged to get to know Christ better. Because as I do that, then I start realizing, you know what, these other things that are happening in the world are pretty small compared to God. You know, if I spend the time listening to everything that's happening and that should progress in our country in the next few weeks with this virus, you would think, oh, things are very difficult. But you know, God has all that in control. And all I need to do is, if I start having fear coming in, this one says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. And I don't think that's just a one-time acquaintance. When I got saved, I became acquainted with him. But I think there's times where I can push the world away, have some capacity in my mind to get better acquainted with him. And that's what I would like for us to be able to do today. There's another verse. It's in Isaiah. Isaiah 26. Here's another promise. There's a lot of promises in the Bible, but most of them I have something that I've got to do for that promise to be fulfilled. Isaiah 26 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. It might be good for us to take this as a verse that we memorize over the next few weeks. When things start happening and you go to the grocery store and the shelves are empty and you say, whoa, there's big trouble coming out ahead. And I start losing my peace about it. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Amen. And we're going to always have some kind of difficulty come to us. This one just seems a lot bigger than some of the others that happen. How this can affect global in such a quick time is amazing. But you know what? God has it all in control. He knew it when it first started. And one thing it has made me realize is, you know what? God's in control. God can turn something loose on a community, on a nation, on the world. And we just have to kind of back off in awe. In fact, I don't know if it was today, but maybe even the president was saying, we need to call for a day of prayer for the troubles that we're in. You know, we can get in our lives in enough trouble that we stop everything and shut it down and say, I need to go to the Lord. I need help from him. This one, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I was thinking about Mary over in Luke, the 10th chapter. When Jesus came over to meet with them, Luke 10 and 38, came to pass as they went, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Mary was cumbered about much serving, came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. You know, we can, reading this story, a lot of times I think about how Mary didn't do the right thing. Well, no, she was doing the right thing. She just let it get out of balance. When the opportunity was there to hear the Lord, and you know, I can be doing the right thing, but maybe I have an opportunity to hear the Lord at that time, and I get it out of balance. She was not doing the wrong thing. It was a good thing to be able to feed Christ and his disciples there. But Mary had just shut down everything. This is the most important thing for me now. And Jesus answered and said to her, 41st verse, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Could he say that about us in our individual lives sometime? Can he say it about me? You getting troubled about the news that you're hearing, the things that are going on. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And I'm thinking the value of this challenge for me today is, as these things crowd in around us and we don't know what the next 2 weeks holds out ahead, let me spend some time sitting at Jesus' feet. And then I realize, wow, he is high and lifted up. He is in control of it all. And if ever there was a time when a Christian's light can shine, it's when difficulties happen in our country around us. So I wonder, it doesn't tell us what kind of instruction Jesus was given Mary, but I do find a whole lot of instruction in red letters in my Bible that tell me that if I would sit at his feet, I would be able to hear those kind of instructions. Instructions that would balance me in my life. Instructions that would give me more time to sit at his feet. And a couple of those I'd like to look at. One is in Mark. And I need to be reminded with this verse often. Mark 8 and 36. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We've heard that so many times in our life. But you know, I almost need to keep hearing it, or I can get caught up in the cycle of the world around me. Not sinful things, but out of balance. And when I get to where I know Christ, I spend more time knowing who he is. I believe he can help me balance even these kind of things in my life. Realizing I do have responsibility. The scripture gives me scriptures, verses that tell me it's my place to provide in my home. I am worse than an infidel if I don't provide for my home. And go to the ant and learn about how that ant does it. But then he comes back after all those things that prod me to make sure I'm a good provider. Says, remember this. Okay, you're getting after it now. You're spending a lot of time doing it. What's going to be the profit if you overdo it and it causes you to lose your soul? I'm thankful for the opportunity that Christ has. He would like for us to sit at his feet. Not just in this service today, but when I go home and through the week, that I'll be able to shut out the world around me and I'll be able to get to know him better. There was another verse that goes along with this. It's in Luke, the 12th chapter. Because we're faced with temporal decisions all the time. This is in Luke 12 and 15. Remember when the man came to Jesus and said, would you talk to my brother? He's not dividing the inheritance with me, and I'd like for you to talk to him. 14th verse of the 12th chapter of Luke. Says, and he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And then here's what getting to know Christ better would help me with. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You know, that's a good thing for me to remember in my mind. My life consists more than what's just in my bank account. There are some things that are more valuable than that in my life. So as I get to know Christ better, I was looking at another verse in Psalms 119. Psalms 119 is a good chapter, long chapter to go through. But what it does is tells the value that these have on the Word of God. And it says 119 and 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it until the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Lord, if you'll just teach me what your way is, I'll follow it with my whole heart. So there is a simple verse, as I want to know him better, that I'd like to look at as we start taking a look at his example for us. In Matthew 11 and 28, this is Jesus speaking. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know, we talked those first few verses was talking about a peace that the Lord can give that will keep him in perfect peace. This one says, if you do this, if you take my yoke on you, learn of me, you'll find rest to your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, when I think about that word yoke, and we hardly can compare it today. We don't have anything to compare it with. But if I go back far enough and look at some old pictures of when they had oxen maybe to plow with, and they have one that is well trained, but they have one that is brand new and has never been put the yoke on their neck, and they put them together. It's kind of like this right here. Take my yoke upon you. In those times, it was forced on the animal, didn't want it, but it was forced on him. This one is I get to choose if I will take his yoke on me. But when I take his yoke on me, I noticed that as I would read those stories about putting that young calf in there with the other, that young one is yanking around. But you know, after a while, he realizes, wow, this really hurts my neck because this other one's just going on about his business. And after a while, he's trained with that. I believe Jesus is wanting us today, me today, to yoke up with him. And we can say, well, yeah, I did. I got saved. But I think we find areas in our life where maybe I'm pulling against the yoke, not submitting to things that come into my life that maybe he has a desire to cause me to make some changes about who I am. And instead, I would like for the problem to go away. It made me think about when he looked over Jerusalem in Luke 19 and he wept. One of the very few times that you hear about Jesus crying. But it was because he was able to see the past and the future. He saw what was coming and he saw what they could have had. If you had only known those things that belong to your peace. And you know what that peace was going to come from? It was going to come from them being willing to submit. They were looking for deliverance from their enemies. They were looking that we're looking for someone to come that will clear us of Roman rule and we will follow that person. But instead, Jesus came without any instruction about they need to quit doing you wrong. But instead, teaching us that if they make you go 1 mile, you offer to go 2 miles with them. What a change. And they were not ready for it. And yet we find now Jesus is able to look out in the future of what it meant to have not accepted what he had for them. You know, these places said, thou would keep them in perfect peace. Yoke up with me and you'll have rest to your souls. I pay the price when I don't do it. And Jesus was able to look at just a few years down the road at the cost that was going to be paid by those that lived in Jerusalem. And I wonder if he's able to look out ahead for me. in the things that he wants to put in my life to make adjustments. And he says, like at Jerusalem, Dan, if you only knew the things that belong to your peace. You know, we can have peace today when trouble is all around us. When people are going all different directions. How can it be? It can only be when I yoke up with him. And when I say, I want to learn more of who you are. I want to have your nature as a part of my life. So I'd like for us for a little bit to take a look at what his nature was while he was here. I'd like to look at 1 John, the second chapter and the sixth verse. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. If I say that I'm a Christian and I'm living for him, I need to be walking like he was walking. And you know what? If I put my neck up in the yoke with him, I will. I'll be going, stepping right along with him. But that verse didn't say that he'll force it on me. He said, you take the yoke and you'll have rest to your soul. So I look at this one. He that saith he abideth in me ought to walk as he walked. You remember those people that say at the very end, they're going to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many mighty works? And list off the things that they had, accomplishments they had made. And he ends up saying, I don't know you. I never knew you. It's as if I never knew you. I don't want to hear that. And how I can be assured not to hear it is let me yoke up with him. Let me check and see how Christ would do this situation. I'd like to look at another verse in 1 Peter, the second chapter. Here's how he would do it. 1 Peter 2 and 21, starting in 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you follow his steps. So if I have my neck in the yoke with him, I'll be following in his steps. He left me an example. And here's his example. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So I look at these, if I get in the yoke with him and I'm following, walking right along beside him, here's some things that will start happening. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. So it made me think of a verse in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, giving some more instruction about this. 5 and 43. Ye have heard that it has been said. So I'm wanting to know more about Christ. I want to know him better. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. 48th verse says, be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I want to know Christ. There are some places that I've known, kind of like the Pharisees say, I know him. I know who his mom and dad is. You know, I can say I know Christ. I read my scripture every once in a while. But what I would like for it to do is look as if I have yoked up with him, and how he does it, I want to do it. There is in Philippians, there's places that give instruction for us, and I'd like to look at those today. In Philippians, the second chapter, is another picture of him. The fifth verse, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if I let his mind be in me just like is in Christ Jesus, it's going to be similar to me yoking up with him. We're going to be heading in the same direction. And then I look at what that caused him to do, what he did with his mind, what opportunities he had to be. It says, sixth verse, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. You know, I was singing this one. He was the king, but he took upon him the form of a servant. You know, human nature says, if I got a choice which one I'm going to be, I'd rather be the king than the servant. But then I think about the instruction that Jesus gave. Here is one in Matthew 20. Because a request was given to Jesus. You know, his disciples at this time were looking at some great things out ahead for them. Jesus' ministry is on the rise. He's very popular. And so in the 20th verse of the 20th chapter of Matthew, it says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said, what wilt thou? And here's her request. Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand of thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. You know, she's not talking about out in heaven, like for them to make heaven their home. She's expecting, along with these disciples, expecting that there's going to be something great here. And I'd like to go ahead and get my request in before the others do. I'd like for one to be here and one to be right there. What was the question that he asked to them? He answered and said, in the 21st verse, where she's asked the one on the left, one on the right, he said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? And they say, we're able. And you know, it'd be real easy for me to say, I'm able. I'm able to yoke up with you and go. But you know, they didn't realize what those three words, we're able, really meant. Because in the 12th chapter of Acts, we read the story about Peter being in prison expecting to die the next day. But a lot of times we skip over what the first couple verses of that 12th chapter says. It says that James, the king, killed James with the sword. And you know who James was? He was one of these two right here that before was saying, I'd like for you to be one on the left and one on the right. And they say, we're able to drink the cup that you're, you know, they didn't realize what that cup was going to be. But you know what? Down the road, they were able to drink that cup, and they were yoked up with him. And you know, Jesus realized how important it was to take care of this situation right here. Because I can say all day long, I'm a Christian. But you know what? If I can't humble myself and become a servant, doesn't matter who we are. That was who Christ was. And if I yoke up with him, I'm going to be walking like he walked. And he became a servant. He taught them by example. And we could say, okay, these two had a problem. But you know what? You read just a little farther down in this chapter, we find out that all of them had a problem. Because look in the 24th verse. When the 10 heard it, did they say, oh, that is no problem. Go ahead. We would like for them to have those two spots anyhow. No, when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Why were they so upset about it? Because they were looking for that spot themselves. These two just happened to go with their mama and beat them to it. Now they're all upset about it. And Jesus starts giving them some instruction. Because if I want to yoke up with him, then I'm going to be doing just like he had done. And he goes down in this and starts teaching them in the 26th. It shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So let's, in this next week, have a picture of this yoke. And I'm volunteering to put my neck in it and walk with Christ. To do that, I really need to know what it's going to cost ahead of time. You remember where it says no man, before he starts building a tower, doesn't sit down and count up the cost. Because what I don't want to do is stick my neck in there and go just a little ways and say, I can't do this close. Because here it's telling us how close it is. But instead of Jesus having just given them instruction, I'm way up here and you're way down here. So I want to tell you how you need to be living. Instead, he gave it by example. The Son of Man did not come to be ministered to, but to minister. And in 20, so he gave them the example, but then he gave them another example. And he did it himself. We often do the ordinance of washing feet. But I want to look at it when we start thinking about, okay, I'm willing to yoke up with you. In John, the 13th chapter. Because we have done this ordinance for many years. The fourth verse of the 13th chapter. He riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. Let's think about this yoke. And we're really not talking about washing somebody's feet. We're talking about willing to serve someone next week that needs help. You know, as I hear about other countries that are ahead of us that are doing total quarantine, you know what? That's going to give us some opportunity to serve if we're willing. How can we be a help to others that are maybe in need in the next period of time? And Jesus himself, I'm going to yoke up with him. He laid aside his garments, who he was, took a towel and girded himself and started washing their feet. And then in the 12th verse, he said, you know what I've done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I've given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. You know, we have scripture that says, be clothed with humility. Let that be what is showing about who I am. And when I yoke up with Christ and I follow his example, because he taught us by example, he was the one that humbled himself. And may I be willing to do the same thing. There is one more place that I'd like to look at. Just a small verse that tells about Jesus. In Acts, the 10th chapter and the 38th verse. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. What about that one phrase? That would be quite a thing to have on your tombstone, that for your life, you just went about doing good. And that's what Jesus did. And we see all those times where he went out into the little villages, but he met up with people and he helped them. And I was thinking of the verse in Galatians 6 and 10. Now it's our turn to yoke up with him. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to those of the household of faith. An opportunity for me to yoke up with Christ. And there is another verse in John 13 and 35. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You know, I can say I'm yoked up with Christ. I can say I'm walking right step by step with him. But he said, here's how you're going to know. Here's how all men are going to know. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. And not just in the chapel, but let me be able to show it to the world around me. It's very possible that soon we're going to have a good opportunity to be able to show the difference between how Christ would do it and how the world would do it. We can see it in just small things like what's happening in the store around us. It is, let me take care of myself. May we ask over the next few weeks, whatever happens, Lord, I would like to show you to people around me. You know what? It may be nothing more than as things get worse that we be able to say, you know what? God's got this in control. He can stop it when he's ready. He can help us in the meantime. Let's pray for those around us. But more than praying, let us realize, you know what? If I yoke up with Christ, I can be able to be a better example to the world, and that's my desire. I desire your prayers.